This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back on the air. This is episode 449 for June 14th, 2016. Sally, did I just say fur?
Somebody's rubbing off on you, Martin. How are you today?
Is that F-U-R?
Yeah, that's exactly how you spell it.
And that lovely voice is Sally Draper, of course, joining me each and every week. I'm doing great, Sally. I had a nice weekend in Door County, Wisconsin. Took some nice pictures and enjoyed some beautiful weather and had wonderful company. My wife and I were up there, and we were kind of celebrating belatedly our 30th wedding anniversary. So fun weekend.
Congratulations to you, and thanks for keeping our little photography series in mind as you were having that that getaway. I shouldn't say it's a photography series. It's a mobile app series, and this week we're going to focus on mobile photography. So,
yep. Exciting topic. I think a lot of people are getting more and more use out of these smartphones. They're not just little devices where you can send email and such, but I think maybe one of the primary uses for these smartphones is taking pictures.
Definitely, and there's some really great pictures taken. You know, I was thinking that there's a lot of application for using a smartphone in ministry settings, and just the other day I had the opportunity to work with some actual printed paperwork, and I just was glancing over it. It needed to give it back to the person it belonged to, and I thought, hey, I'll take a picture of it, you know. So not nearly as glamorous as a lot of the things we'll talk about today, but even for some quick documentation purposes, it might have you know, good use in your ministry setting. Maybe you take a photo and send it out to the team that's working on a particular project with you or whatever the case. That's just one of many, many ministry uses.
Yep, there's a lot of productivity gains that could be had. That's one of the uses I have for my phone is trying to be as paperless as possible. When bills come in, I open them, put them on the table, take a picture, and throw them away. So I've got them right in. I scan them right or take pictures and add them right into OneNote. I can add a little note on it when it's due, whatever. And OneNote's smart enough to OCR it too, so I can actually search the image itself. So my particular iPhone does a really good job in those kind of situations, so that the OneNote app actually has three different settings, and one of those is the document setting, so it knows that you're taking a picture of a piece of paper and sets the phone up correctly to take a nice shot. So just a little productivity tip there. But there are lots of ministry applications. One that comes to my mind a lot is, and you see a lot, is social sharing, the ability to take pictures of different events in your life, church events, whatever, and share them and have an opportunity to share what's really important to you in the process.
Yeah, I just had a visual picture of us interviewing quite some time ago now, Kathy Clennard Ellison, who is at Time of Grace Ministries, and a lot of her work revolves around that social sharing and having great imagery to do it. She was at Wells Tech Conference last summer. Martin, we probably should grab her and have her back on the show again to get an update from her. But certainly, if you follow Time of Grace at all, and I do on Pinterest, on Instagram, on Facebook, you see that they regularly feed their followers with God's Word through the use of images.
Right. And we've talked about this many times in the past. It is really important, if you are using social networks, to use images. Those posts get read more often and have more impact. So it's really not even worth it, according to the statistics, to post something without an image. And some of those images can certainly come from your use of your very handy smartphone.
That's very true. We probably all have different cameras that we've worked with over the years, and I have a really nice one myself. Love it, takes great pictures, but it's kind of a pain to lug around.
You can't put it in your back pocket. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the one moment when I think, oh, I wish I had my camera, I do have my smartphone along. So that that phone along with you at your church events. Why not snap a few photos? I'm on the Treasure House Board of Directors, the resale shop here in New Ulm, and we just had a little ice cream social to honor our volunteers. And I thought, I wish I had some photos. Oh, I have my phone. So I grabbed it and snapped a few pictures and immediately uploaded them to our Google Drive archive of photos, our Google Photos archive. So easy and quick to do, and you're right. You can get some great results with these little camera phones.
Yep. So I did kind of an experiment this weekend when I went up to Door County, which those folks that have been up there know that it's a very picturesque place. It's a long peninsula in northern Wisconsin. You have Lake Michigan on one side and Green Bay on the other, all kinds of harbors and beautiful sunsets and all kinds of interesting things to take pictures of, as you might imagine. It's a very resorty area. And so I said this weekend, which I would normally take my fancy camera, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take my smartphone and see if I can get good quality images or good enough quality images out of the smartphone versus, you know, the fancier lenses that I might carry. And I would say, by and large, it was a pretty successful experiment. For one, I felt a lot less loaded down. You know, I didn't have to take a big backpack and switch the lenses and be concerned, you know, as much about, you know, managing all that gear. All I really had was something that I normally carry with me all the time, which was the smartphone, and I got some pretty good images. Let me share my screen a little bit and show you some examples. There's one. Those of you that are watching, my apologies to those that are listening. I'm showing a picture of a sunset. So this was out on Ephraim, I guess, outside of Wilson's Ice Cream Shop, and just a beautiful sunset, and the camera had really no issues with that. I use a iPhone 6S. The 6S Plus, which is the bigger one, actually has a little bit better camera. It has image stabilization, but I didn't have any trouble kind of capturing these landscape photographies or other images with other people in the shot. So that was one, and I just did a couple others. Let me show you just this one from a little hike we took. So this is a little bit more close up in kind of filtered light, and I apply just a little bit of a filter. And that's probably another thing we should talk about, Sally, is there's just a ton of different applications that can give your photos just that little extra touch that make it a little bit more interesting. So lots of opportunities to do that. In fact, let me do that. The application that I use is Google Photos, and that's something that can be had for free. So here's a photo that I took of a shoreline, and let's say maybe I wanted to draw attention more to some of the images in the center of the screen. So there's ducks out here in the water. There's an interesting log in the forefront. In Google Photos, all you got to do is click the pen icon, and you have all kinds of controls over exposure, over the color. They have something that's called pop, so you can scale up the contrast and the saturation a little bit. But one of the ones that I use a lot is this vignette. A vignette is just kind of a darkening or lightening of the edges to kind of draw attention into the middle. And those of you that are watching can kind of see that the picture takes on a little bit more drama when you do that. And it's just by clicking that edit icon, dragging a slider over, and clicking done. And with Google Photos, you can either save a copy of it or you can replace the image, you know, right in place. One nice thing about Google Photos is that it works nicely with almost every smartphone. So what you can do is tell your smartphone, any photo you take, upload it to Google Photos. So you really don't have to do much at all to get it up there and kind of get it in a studio environment where you can tweak it and crop it and do all the things that you want right on your phone, and then share it that way. So lots of editorial capabilities with very good apps and at exactly the right price.
Yeah, I love the price tag. That would be free. Mm-hmm. And you certainly can't beat that. I use a 6S Plus, Martin, but I didn't know I had image stabilization, so you taught me something there. And I will actually share my screen and share the image editor that I use on my iPhone. It's called Photogene, and it's just one that I read about a long, long time ago, and I've stuck with it because I'm comfortable with the interface. It has all kinds of editing capabilities. You're able to to see metadata, to just touch the screen and retouch things using Photogene. They have a lot of preset kind of filters built in, kind of Instagram-like, so you can apply those, or you can control the fine granularity of the changes, and then easily save it, resize things, share them on your favorite social networks or to different accounts like your Flickr account or your Google Drive, Google Photos account. So lots of capabilities there as well. I think it cost $2.99, which I paid for a long, long time ago and have enjoyed using Photogene. I think the point would be that the apps are out there. They're out there for free or for a little bit of a fee, and you can have really robust editing capabilities on your smartphone or tablet.
Yep, absolutely. And there's just a ton of them. Let me throw one other suggestion in there in that same price range. I think it's $2.99, and that is Camera Plus. It's been around quite a long time. Let me share that screen as well. Hopefully you're seeing my iPhone screen. I think it's iPhone only. But Camera Plus is neat because it kind of takes your iPhone camera to the next level. And you, if you're watching, kind of see the inside of my office and one of my favorite bobbleheads over there, Joe Montana. On the screen, one of the nice things that you can do is that you can separate focus from exposure. So if I just tap on the screen, that's going to say, well, that's where I want to focus. But then there's a little plus button there. So if you hit the plus button, then you get another ring that pops out that you can change the focus point. So if you're in a backlit situation or a difficult lighting situation, you can say, hey, expose for this particular area, which would lighten it up or darken it, and that would give you a lot more capabilities as far as getting more of that dynamic range, they call it. And there's all kinds of modes here. So I can select this, and now I've got a focus mode, and that's different than you can get out of an iPhone's regular camera app, because you don't get any of that bokeh, they call it. So if you're focusing on something close up, the background blurs. You can't do that with the iPhone camera, but with this app, you can. So if I want to focus on Joe Montana here, I can do that by simply moving the slider left and right. And you can kind of see as I'm focusing on him, the background gets blurry. And you can't really do that with a regular iPhone app, because it wants everything in focus. So you have a lot more creative control with this. You also have the ability to set the exposure or the shutter speed, which you also can't do with most cameras, most smartphone cameras. So if you want a longer shutter speed, let's say you're taking some night photography or you want that shutter to stay open for 2 or 3 seconds, capture more light, you have to use an app like this to be able to do that. So lots of things that you can do with some of these apps, very inexpensive apps, that you can't do with some of the built-in apps. So explore those. Do some reading on blogs. There's all kinds of smartphone camera blogs that'll kind of walk you through the different things that you can do to get better pictures out of your smartphone.
Yep, we have one, at least one, maybe a couple of links to share along those lines of things that people can read up on Smartphone Photography 101, and even National Geographic has posted smartphone tips and things on there, since they're known for great photography and stuff. So check out the show notes at wellstech.wells.net and look for some of those links to how-to guides.
Yep, and we didn't maybe finish our total application discussion at the top of the show, but I can think of all kinds of education applications, classroom applications, for project-based learning or documenting a process or those kinds of things in the classroom, just all kinds of application there. Also, maybe documentation for your church or your organization, archiving, taking that photo history that you might not think is so important now, but 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, to have those images, that's really special to be able to do that and kind of be that historian and capture things that they're going to be very kind of neat to look at in the future.
Definitely. If I were to say my favorite way to share photos, that's on my phone as well. Even when I take them with my fancy camera, I like to email them to my phone so that I can share them via Instagram probably one of the most popular photo sharing sites out there. And you can actually find people to follow on Instagram who will, you know, who are specifically teaching you techniques and things like that with Instagram photography. So, but you can do all this editing outside of Instagram and just share your edited photos from Photogene or Camera Plus or wherever it may be. On Instagram, or you can use some of their filters as well. It's pretty laid back and easy to use, but a fun way to share, and also a social network that gives you broader exposure than just a limited friend list. So everybody can kind of search hashtags and follow things, kind of like on Twitter, where you're more public with your imagery with Instagram. So I published one not long ago about our 3D printer, and a whole bunch of 3D printer people followed me because they were following that hashtag or whatever. So just ways to connect with people.
One thing that we've talked about in the past, we should probably just raise briefly here, is you probably want to have some kind of strategy about organizing your photos. I mentioned I use Google Photos. They've made some serious improvements to their app. They have face recognition, but they also have really smart searching, so they have even scene recognition. So if there's something in the scene that it recognizes, and Google obviously knows a lot about the world around us, it will find it just by search terms and of course location. So you can type in just almost anything, including names, but also locations, or let's say trees or forests or whatever, and it'll show you what it recognizes to be those things. You're really smart. It's a really helpful thing because of the convenience that we have with these smartphones, we're taking more pictures than we ever have, and thus the ability to find them gets more difficult. But folks like Google and now Apple just released or just announced that they're kind of doing the same thing with facial recognition, scene recognition, trying to use the smarts that computers are good at to help you find your photos.
Yep. One tool that might be a help to setting up those kind of things is If This Then That. We've talked about If This Then That before, Martin. I have If This Then That, take all my Instagram photos and save them to my Flickr account, for instance. So you can set up some recipes, they're called, on the If This Then That website, and kind of get your photos where you want them to be, perhaps to Google Drive or wherever, using a tool like If This Then That.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the hardware, the equipment, some of the accessories that you could purchase that would go along with your mobile photography. As you're using, and I'm going to not reveal my pick too early here, but there are all kinds of things like tripods and cases that you could use. One of the big ones is different lenses. Now with smartphones, there's a lot of these manufacturers now who have figured out that, hey, there's a market for smartphone users who want maybe a little bit extra, a little bit more than the smartphone lens itself can do. Because these lenses are so small and thin on these phones, they don't have big sensors, they don't have the ability to do any kind of optical zooming or fisheye or macro photography that rivals anything that would be on a point and shoot. But there are all kinds of companies like Olaclip and Moment, both of which have really high quality lenses that will allow you to do a little bit more with your smartphone. Olaclip has one that's called a 4-in-1 that will give you a fisheye, a wide angle, and then two macro lenses. They also have a zoom one as well. Just some nice optics in there that will give you very good results. And it just kind of clips over your phone and is really small and lightweight, and you can put in your pocket and really handy that way.
So, yep, I took a photography class for my DSLR a year or two ago, and lenses are definitely where it's at. You can have great cameras, but adding on the correct lens, the right lens for the situation, really makes a difference. So having these, like this 4-in-1 option, is probably a really great companion to your smartphone photography. I have a favorite piece of hardware as well, Martin. It's called a selfie stick.
Oh, and it's no.
Super fancy, but a lot of fun. So I can take my iPhone, I can clip it in there. I turn on my iPhone, and I have it set to, reverse the image. And I have the timer set, so all I need to do is hit the button, and maybe I didn't have the timer set. Maybe I just took the picture without even counting down. Some selfie sticks, have a button in the handle, but if you get your selfie stick like I did at the Dollar Tree for $1, they don't have those fancy buttons, but it works just the same, and it's a great little tool to have when you're at a party or something around a lot of people that you love and you want to get your picture made with them. So, fun piece of hardware.
Okay, I won't make any fun of selfie sticks since you've got one. They do. They can be kind of annoying, depending on where you are. I think Disney or somebody, some major theme park, I think, has said you can't use them in our park or something.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. Yeah. Okay.
I may be totally. I know there was some place that did that. But anyway.
Interesting.
Hard to go wrong with a dollar selfie stick, right?
There you go.
That's what I always say. we talked a lot about. The different apps, the different organization tools you can use, some of the equipment, but there is no substitute for knowing more about the process of taking pictures and how to use that that thing that you're carrying around in your pocket or purse. So we'll put in the show notes a number of links for training resources. There are just some excellent videos out there that allow you to kind of walk step by step through the different things that you can and can't do, some of the limitations that there are with smartphones versus DSLRs, some of the things that you can do to kind of close that gap, just some really good stuff that will make you a better photographer with the end goal of obviously producing better pictures. And for ministry application, that's always a good thing. So take advantage of those as well.
Yeah, good stuff. And if you have some great iPhone or Android phone or regular camera images that you'd like to share, we have a little photo challenge going on over at wells.net/photo challenge. And this month we're looking for pictures of travel and vacation, of Vacation Bible School, and of the verse Matthew 11, verse 29, all about rest. So share your mobile images with us. We'd love to add them to our image pool, and you might win some nice mobile photography lenses. That's the prizes that we have coming up soon in the photo challenge.
Very nice, Sally. In our abbreviated summer series, we're just going to jump straight to our tips and picks of the week.
And that means it's my turn to share something fun that I came across this week, and it came from my friends at TechSmith. I'm guessing you don't have to have watched all 8.5 years of Wells Tech to know that I'm a TechSmith.
Probably comes up about every other
girl.
Show.
Yeah. But I did hear from my friends at TechSmith, and I'll tell you the icing on the cake when I get to the end. But they released last week an upgrade to one of my favorite pieces of software. It's called Snagit, and it's a screen capture software. It allows you to capture images and now video, and they're just adding on to all the great things you can do with Snagit. One thing that they did this time was make it more enhanced for higher resolution monitors, which is a big improvement because I have a pretty high res monitor. They allow you to do something now called panoramic capture. If you're seeing my screen, they have a little demo on their website where you can pick up a section of the screen, almost like if you were going to pick up Door County out on that peninsula up in Wisconsin and take several screen captures to capture all of that. They have really nice new interface and allow you to add yourself and your webcam view to your videos now. So lots of new upgrades for Snagit, and I promised to share my good news, and that is as a Google certified trainer, they allow you to have free copies of Snagit and Camtasia Studio, which is just a huge bonus. And so they reminded us of that this week as they released Snagit, and I've already downloaded this new version, the Snagit editor. I'm sharing it on my screen now with a screen capture of Wells Tech, and I can do all kinds of fancy things with it, like add highlighting and lines and arrows and crop it and add annotations and things like that. Very intuitive interface, some really cool effects like blurring out areas of the screen or applying different filters and things. I used it recently, Martin, when you and I were together side by side for a podcast a few weeks ago to snag an image of us as we were portrayed in the video, and I sized it for our website and things like that. So Snagit has all kinds of uses. It's my favorite image editing tool. I'm not much of an Adobe Photoshop kind of person or Lightroom or any of that, but I do love Snagit. That's the way I go, and they have really good pricing for education and for government nonprofits, so you can upgrade if you're an education user for just $15, or government nonprofit users can get the upgraded version of Snagit for $21.50. So not bad at all. The regular price is $49.95, but for education it's only $29.95, and for government nonprofit $42.95. So be sure to look into that special pricing anytime you're buying software for your school or church, because oftentimes there is discounted pricing for the software. And I think you would be happy with Snagit if you went that direction.
Highly recommended for anybody who's flipping a classroom, you know, doing any kind of sharing like that. The addition of video is huge, you know, the ability mm-hmm. to do that right within that tool, especially if you're just getting started and don't want to go all the way to the Camtasia level, which is the higher end package, but it's also more complicated. The Snagit side of things, very easy. You press a red button and, you know, away you go. So
that's
it's
true.
Very cool. Available for Mac and PC.
So. Mm-hmm.
Very good. My pick of the week is right in line with our mobile photography series. I have two picks, actually. The first one is something from the good folks at Square Jellyfish. It is a little head that will grab your iPhone or whatever smartphone you have. It's got some springs on it. You put your phone in there, you can tighten it up, and it can go horizontal or vertical, portrait or landscape. And then on the bottom of it, it's about the size, the base is about the size of a thumb drive, and then the bracket is, you know, about the width of your phone. But then on the bottom of it is a hole that you can screw into a regular camera mount. So what you do is obviously put your camera in there, and then you can attach this to any tripod. So this is the Square Jellyfish Spring Tripod Mount. This is made of metal, although it's not very heavy. You can just put it in your pocket. It does fold up so that you can get down to a pretty small size, so you hardly know that you've got it. So it's just something you put in your pocket when you've got your smartphone with you. And then what you'd need with that, which is the second piece of my pick, is a tripod. And so I picked this up a while ago. By the way, the Square Jellyfish Spring Tripod Mount, I think, is about $15, which is not too bad. This tripod mount is, I got these flexible legs. So the legs on this are about 6 inches long. It has a little threaded nib at the top that can go, you got this little turn screw that you can swivel the head around at to whatever position you've got. The legs are also flexible, so you can wrap them around different things. So if you've got a fence post or a pole or some uneven surface that you want to kind of configure it toward, these legs are all three of them are flexible, so you simply put your mount on top, your Square Jellyfish mount, and you tighten things up just the way you want them. You put your phone in there, and you've got a very stable solution that would allow you to do long exposures, that would allow you to do those selfies. So you hit the 10-second timer. You can put this quite a ways away, put it on a rock, and you're in the picture. There are also devices now that could probably be a future pick that will automatically trigger a shutter on your phone. I know iPhone has that with the Apple Watch. You can tap your watch, and that'll trigger the shutter on your iPhone, so you can get the whole family in the picture. These this small tripod is from Monoprice. I've mentioned Monoprice in the past. Very cheap stuff, but usually of decent quality. I think this was like $6. So for about $20, you've got a full tripod and a mount, a head that you can put your phone in and stabilize everything, and you've got a good photographic solution. So,
and I bet it's not out loud at Disney, huh?
I bet it's not. this is, I was really happy to find this combination because it's really, really works out well if you want to stabilize your camera. So, good deal.
Very good. Thanks for sharing.
Sally, next week, what are we doing?
Well, we're continuing our mobile ministry theme, but we're going to take some time to look at different mobile devices, kind of demystify iOS versus Android, maybe how you can get in the mobile device space if you are on a budget or whatever, looking at where you can get refurbished equipment, all kinds of those of things like that, as well as what kind of peripherals you need once you have a smartphone or tablet. Are there more things that you need to go along with it? So it's all about devices.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, looking forward to that. So tune in next week for all about mobile devices. Sally, that's going to about do it for the show. Remind everybody where they can go for the show notes and to make community feedback contributions.
Just happen to have it up on my screen. I will share real quickly our Wells Tech website. It's at wellstech.wells.net. When you visit the website, you'll find all the historic episodes all the way back to episode 1 in January of 2008. You'll find links to all kinds of social networks, including our Instagram account if you want to see what we're doing with photography. And a way to leave us even a voicemail. We'd love to include your voice on the show, as well as share any of the highs and lows of tech and ministry that you've experienced so others can learn from it and do good things as well. We've got book links. We've got photo challenge links. We've got a calendar of what to expect. It's all there at wellstech.wells.net.
Very good. That's going to about do it for this week's show. Say goodbye, Sally.
Goodbye, Sally and Martin and everyone. Goodbye.
Go take some photos. Bye-bye, everybody.